following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
It's Thursday, July the 27th. I want to welcome you to tonight's program. This is End Time Headlines Viewpoint. I am your host, Ricky Scapero, the founder and the voice of End Time Headlines. If you're new to the broadcast, first time joining us, somebody invited you in, whatever the case may be, let us know in the comments section below that you are new and where you guys are joining us from. So tonight, we're going to talk about the UFO congressional hearing. Some very interesting things was said during this hearing. We're going to talk about that. We're going to tackle this subject tonight. We're going to show you some videos, some clips, and then we're going to get into some deep, in-depth teaching tonight, blowing the lid off and exposing what exactly are these things. I can't go into much detail until we watch the video. Once we watch the video, then we'll elaborate a little bit more on this, and then we'll get into the teaching. So before we do that, please do me a favor, hit that like button, hit that share button, hit that push notification bell so that you guys can push out this content, get it to more viewers, and so that you can keep up with our content here on Rumble, YouTube, Facebook Live, whatever platform you may be watching from. All right, so y'all ready? Here we go. We've got, we're going to give you some snippets, some videos. There's an interview here. And then we'll get right into our teaching. Let's watch this.
We begin with that historic UFO hearing on Capitol Hill today. As we just said, the bipartisan push for transparency, certainly decades in the making. The nation watched gripping testimony of UAPs, accusations of a government cover-up, calls for action, and demands for greater transparency on this issue. What are these unidentified objects? Where did they come from? And are we alone? Take a listen. Here are some of the key highlights from that hearing.
Finally, I'd like to thank these three brave witnesses here. They took an oath. They took an oath to uphold the Constitution of the United States, and dadgummit, they're doing it. And we owe them a debt of gratitude.
I have experienced advanced UAP firsthand, and I'm here to voice the concerns of more than 30 commercial aircrew and military veterans who have confided their similar encounters with me. Today, I would like to highlight three critical issues that demand our action. As we convene here, UAP are in our airspace, but they are grossly underreported. These sightings are not rare or isolated, they are routine. Military aircrew and commercial pilots, trained observers whose lives depend on accurate identification, are frequently witnessing these phenomena. The stigma attached to UAP is real and powerful and challenges national security. It silences commercial pilots who fear professional repercussions, discourages witnesses, and is only compounded by recent government claims questioning the credibility of eyewitness testimony. Parts of our government are aware of more about UAP than they let on, but excessive classification practices keep crucial information hidden. Since 2021, all UAP videos are classified as secret or above. This level of secrecy not only impedes our understanding, but fuels speculation and mistrust. In 2014, I was an F-18 Foxtrot pilot in the Navy Fighter Attack Squadron 11, the Red Rippers, and I was stationed at NAS Oceana in Virginia Beach. After upgrades were made to our jet's radar systems, we began detecting unknown objects operating in our airspace. At first, we assumed they were radar errors, but soon we began to correlate the radar tracks with multiple onboard sensors, including infrared systems, eventually through visual ID. During a training mission in Warning Area Whiskey 72, 10 miles off the coast of Virginia Beach, two F-18 Super Hornets were split by a UAP. The object, described as a dark gray or a black cube inside of a clear sphere, came within 50 feet of the lead aircraft and was estimated to be 5 to 15 feet in diameter. The mission commander terminated the flight immediately and returned to base. Our squadron submitted a safety report, but there was no official acknowledgement of the incident and no further mechanism to report the sightings. Soon, these encounters became so frequent that aircrew would discuss the risk of UAP as part of their regular pre-flight briefs. The majority of witnesses are commercial pilots at major airlines. Often, they are veterans with decades of flying experience. Pilots are reporting UAP at altitudes that appear above them at 40,000 feet, potentially in low Earth orbit or in the gray zone below the Kármán line, making inexplainable maneuvers like right-hand turns and retrograde orbits or J-hooks. If everyone could see the sensor and video data I witnessed, our national conversation would change. I urge us to put aside stigma and address the security and safety issue this topic represents. If UAP are foreign drones, it is an urgent national security problem. If it is something else, it is an issue for science.
I was informed in the course of my official duties of a multi-decade UAP crash retrieval and reverse engineering program, to which I was denied access to those additional read-ons when I requested it. I made the decision, based on the data I collected, to report this information to my superiors and multiple inspectors general, and in effect becoming a whistleblower. As you know, I've suffered retaliation for my decision, but I am hopeful that my actions will ultimately lead to a positive outcome of increased transparency.
The controller told us that these objects had been observed for over 2 weeks, coming down from over 80,000 feet, rapidly descending to 20,000 feet, hanging out for hours, and then going straight back up. For those who don't realize, above 80,000 feet is space. We arrived at the location at approximately 20,000 feet, and the controller called merge plot, which means that our radar blip was now in the same resolution cell as the contact. As we looked around, we noticed that we saw some white water off our right side. It's important to note that the weather on this day was as close to perfect as you could ask for off the coast of San Diego. Clear skies, light winds, calm seas, no white caps from waves. So the white water stood out in a large blue ocean. All four of us, because we were in F-18F, so we had pilots and Wizzo in the back seat, looked down a small, saw a white tic-tac object with a longitudinal axis pointing north-south and moving very abruptly over the water.
All right, guys. So again, you see these testimonies coming forward at this congressional hearing. They're seeing something. They're experiencing something. They're witnessing something. This is not generalized to one location. It's happening all over the world. Here's an article. This is from Metro UK. U.S. pilot says he dodged a mysterious dark cube that was floating in the sky. I believe we have a picture. Then we had this piece from the Daily Mail where former defense official Christopher Mellon said that the U.S. has recovered technology that did not originate on this earth. And then, of course, we have this clip.
Whistleblower David Grush, who claimed the government is holding information from the public. Here's a taste.
An official intelligence representative at a high level from the U.S. government is saying publicly, we are not alone.
We're definitely not alone.
We have spacecraft from another species.
We do.
Do we have bodies? Do we have species of...
Well, naturally, when you recover something that's either landed or crashed, sometimes you encounter dead pilots. And believe it or not, as fantastical as that sounds, it's true.
All right, so there you have it. The general consensus here is that we have unidentified objects. There is debate on if they are earthly origin. Are they military origin? Are they foreign intelligence? Many of these guys, these former Navy SEAL, U.S. Air Force, military, they will tell you that they are not foreign. They are not aircraft. They are not drones. And then, of course, you got this guy saying that these are not of earthly origin. And even goes as far as to say that there has been bodies recovered. They're not of earthly origin. So what do we do with this? We ignore this. We laugh at this. We have a good laugh and we just sweep it under the rug and say it's sensationalism. Or is there actual craft and beings out there? And if they are, what are they? That, my friend, is what we're going to tackle today. So listen, I need you to buckle up with me. We're going to get into some controversial stuff here. This is not for everybody because I am going to cite sources outside of the 66 books of the Bible. These will be historical accounts. These will be early church fathers quotes and so forth. So if you're one of those individuals that when anybody starts using sources outside of the Bible to confirm the Bible, some people don't like that. They get a little nervous about that. So I just want to give you a heads up So before you start bashing me the email and sending me all these messages because I'm quoting books that may not necessarily be found in here, but will not disagree with the written word of God. I want to emphasize that. It will not disagree with the written word of God. And if you will listen to me and hear me out, I believe we're going to get the answer to what we're dealing with out there. And can I give you I want to give you a spoiler alert. It's not aliens and extraterrestrials. All right, so let's go all the way to the beginning, to the very book, the very beginning of creation. Now, we could say we could start in the book of Genesis, but that's not where I want to begin. You see, if we go all the way back, there is a book that scholars will tell you that is older than the book of Genesis, and it's the book of Job. Now, why are we going to start with the book of Job? Because the book of Job tells us in the beginning what theologians like to use as a term called the pre-Adamic world or the ages past. So these are theological terms. Don't get too hung up on them, but we're just giving language to what we're talking about tonight. When you begin to study this, and guys, I'm going to quote scripture, but I'm not going to put all these up on the screen just because if I do this and we break this down like to the point where we're going verse by verse, it will literally take 2 or 3 hours to do this. And we're trying to get all this in 1 hour program. Okay. So we'll give you the verses. You can study them. You can look them up. The word of God tells us that there, when God created the heavens, it's plural tense and not singular. I want to say that again, because this is so important. When God created the heavens and the earth, it's Genesis chapter 1. We're going to get to Job, but Genesis chapter 1, God created the heavens and the earth. And the word heavens there is plural tense. The reason why it's plural tense is because we know according to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 4, the Apostle Paul, by his own writings, said that he was caught up and he said the third heaven. Now, he describes when he was caught up into the third heaven. When the Apostle Paul, if you'll study this out, when the Apostle Paul wrote this second letter to the church of Corinth, he was in the city of Lystra where he was stoned and left for dead. And many scholars will agree that they believe that literally Paul had what we would call an out-of-body experience. His soul and spirit, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That's what Paul said in his revelation. His soul and spirit actually left his body. Thus, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 4, he said that he was caught up into the third heaven. Now, why didn't he say he was caught up to heaven? Because he makes a distinction here that there is not one heaven, not two heavens, but there's three heavens. And when he gives this depiction of this third heaven, we know that this is where God's throne is. And he says that it was so glorious that he called it paradise. And he heard inexpressible words, which were not even lawful for him to utter. He couldn't even go into great detail about what he both heard and saw when he was there at the throne room of God. So watch this. If there is a third heaven, that means there has to be a first and a second heaven. The first heaven, where is the first heaven, Brother Ricky? I'm glad you asked. The first heaven would be what we call Earth's atmosphere. Then we have what's called the second heaven, which is the location of the constellations, the stars, and the planets. This is also the dominion that was given to Lucifer, aka Satan, and his angels and demons. You can find this in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, where Paul said there is principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, and spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. Then, again, so watch this. We have the first heaven, which is where we see the clouds, the blue skies. We have the second heaven, where we see the constellation, the stars, and the planets, where the domain is of Lucifer, aka Satan, fallen angels and demons. They have access to the second heaven, and then there is the third heaven, wherein which is God's throne and dominion. Now, why did I tell you all this? Why did I say all this? Because you have to understand. Now I want to take you to the book of Job, chapter 38, verses 5 and 7. If you're listening by Apple, by Spotify, that's Job chapter 38, verses 5 through 7. Again, scholars will tell you that this book is one of the oldest, if not the oldest book, in the entire 66 books of Canaan of Scripture. This in Job 38, verses 5 through 7, Job tells us who was here with God in the beginning. Look at this. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? So he's talking to Job here. God is speaking, saying, where were you when I laid the foundations? That's the genesis of creation, the beginning, the foundations. Tell me, if you have understanding, who determined its measurements? Surely you know, or who stretched the line upon it? Verse 6, to what were its foundations fastened, or who laid its cornerstone? Now listen to verse 7. When the morning stars sang together, and all of the sons of God shouted for joy. Notice that Job references two groups of individuals here. He references morning stars and sons of God. Now, these were angels. Sons of God, we're going to get into that more in detail in just a minute, but just hang on with me. Sons of God, morning stars. In heaven, before Adam and Eve were created, you had, and before, can I go back farther than this? Oh, come on, somebody. When we go all the way back to Genesis chapter 1, we see here in the beginning God, and that, by the way, that's plural tense, Elohim. Why? Because you had all three there. You had God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Watch this. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void and darkness. So something happened between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2, because in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So everything was done. But then something happened that caused the earth to be without form, void, and darkness upon the face of the deep. I propose to you that between 1:1 and 1:2 was the fall of Lucifer from heaven. We'll talk more about that in a moment. But notice here it says the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. So again, you have God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, and God and Yeshua, you have Jesus. All there present at the beginning. If you don't believe that, you go down here to verse 26, and God is speaking in plural tense and says, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Again, so all these are present. So you have the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit all present in the beginning. Even John testifies of this in his writings, and he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he was in the beginning with God. And all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. So I just want to paint this picture to you. Before Adam and Eve was created, you have God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all there present. Then you have angels. Now these angels consisted of sons of God, the sons of morning. You had cherubim, you had seraphim, you had living creatures, and you had archangels. Michael the archangel was one of those archangels. You had these living creatures that Ezekiel described. You have the seraphim that was, you had these angels that were put over, once Adam and Eve fell into sin, those angels were put over the garden to keep man out away from the tree of knowledge. Now, having established that, I want to go back to these two groups, sons of God and the morning stars. Again, Job 38:5-7, where were you when the morning stars sang together? The phrase sons of God, we have morning stars, sons of God. Let's talk about sons of God. The phrase, the term sons of God is found in the Old Testament 5 times. And let me give you the reference for this. Genesis chapter 6, verse 2 and verse 4. Job chapter 1, verse 6. Job chapter 2, verse 1. Job chapter 38, verse 7. All of these is the Hebrew word B'nai Elohim. Again, in Genesis 6, 2. It says, it tells us when we, because we're going to get real heavy into this in a minute. The sons of God, B'nai Elohim, went into the daughters of men and produced an offspring, a lineage of Nephilim or giants. All right, let's put a stake there because we're going to come back to that. Then let's talk about the morning stars. The morning stars is a second group of angels that, again, are referenced in, and again, here's these theological terms, in ages past or the pre-Adamite era. So we can distinguish here that both groups were angels. Both groups had a specific number of angels within their ranks that fell into Satan's revolt. There is some scholars and theologians that actually believe, and this is, and I actually lean towards this and believe this, that Satan or Lucifer was because the Bible calls him the anointed cherub. Read this in the book of Ezekiel, and the book of Isaiah talks about this. He was an anointed cherub that was overseen and had authority over the morning stars, whereas Michael the archangel was the chief archangel over the sons of God. Now look, I just said a mouthful there. Let me slow it down. Let me say that again. Remember, you had sons of God, morning stars. It is believed that Lucifer had authority over the morning stars, whereas Michael the archangel had authority over the sons of God. Now, let me give you the greatest proof of this that I believe, in my opinion, to solidify this. Here, this is Revelation chapter 12. This is in the tribulation. This is when Satan or Lucifer, watch this, will be permanently cast out of the second heaven. He's already been cast out of the third heaven, and he has limited access, okay, to accuse the brethren before the throne of God. Read Job chapter 1. Remember this? Let me go to Job chapter 1 before I go to Revelation 12. Look what it says here in verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. So again, sons of God, this is B'nai Elohim. They come before the throne. They're before the throne room of God. Now, where's the throne room of God? I'm going to see if you've been paying attention. Third heaven. So you have the sons of God. You have Satan. And the Lord said unto Satan, where do you come from? And Satan said, I'm from going to and fro over the earth and walking back and forth on it. And God says, have you considered my servant Job? Stop. Adam was the first or the chief of God's creation. So this had to have taken place. And at least this event here had taken place after the fall of Adam. So it appears here, at least in this verse, that Satan still has some form of access to the throne room of God to accuse brethren. Obviously, it's a limited access. I don't ask me to explain all this, guys, because I can't. But I'm telling you, there's got to be boundaries. There has to be limited access, because when Jesus was crucified at the cross, he took his own blood, according to the book of Hebrews, and he went into the Holy of Holies in the heavenly temple, took his own blood and purified the temple of God so that he can make a place for us that when where he is, that where we may be also. That's what the book of John says. So obviously Satan couldn't get into, there's limitations to where Satan could get into after the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. But this event took place before the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. So therefore, it appears here that before the crucifixion anyway, Satan still had access to accuse our brethren day and night. And if you go into the New Testament, you see where Satan was accusing Peter before the throne, because Jesus says, Peter, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat. Okay, so there's got to be some type of limited access that Satan has to accuse us, the brethren, night and day. And then we get over, watch this, we go to Revelation 12. Remember what we're talking about. Listen, the context, sons of God, sons of morning, Satan over the sons of morning, or Lucifer. Michael had the sons of God in his rank. Look what it says, Revelation 12, 7. Let me pull this up on your screen so you can see this, what I'm looking at. And war broke out in heaven. Again, this is in the tribulation. This has not happened yet. Michael, look what it says here, and his angels fought with the dragon. We all know who that is. That's Satan. And the dragon and his angels fought. Y'all see that? This is awesome, guys, because I'm telling you, when we get into the origin of UFOs, aliens, extraterrestrials, it's all going to make sense to you. So we see that there's a future war in heaven, and that's in the second heaven. There's going to be Michael and his angels, and there's going to be Satan and his angels. So watch this. There's still angels that are still here present. Not ages past, but present. Why is it important to say this? Because we're going to go deeper. Y'all ready to go deeper? Now that we've established all this, we got to go here. We got to put our tent stakes right here in Genesis chapter 6, because this is where it all begins with where we're going tonight. All right? Watch this. Now, it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth. This is after the fall of Lucifer. Right? Fall of Lucifer, Adam's fallen in sin, men begin to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them. Look at verse 2. The sons of God, that's B'nai Elohim, these are angels, saw the daughters of men, and that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. I'm going to switch over here to King James. Listen to what it says here. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. So watch this. So God begins to reduce the life of mankind after this event. So whatever this event was, these angels going into the daughters of men and producing a race or a seed, it so grieved God that he knew at that point that he was going to have to destroy the earth of a flood, because these hybrids, these demigods that were half angel and half men would inundate the entire earth with corruption and abomination. Let's read on here. Verse 4, there were giants in the earth. That's Nephilim. In those days, these giants are demigods, half angel, half man. Where did they come from? And also after that, here he tells you, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, they procreated with the daughters of men, and they bore children to them, and the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. Again, the Nephilim. Now there is an entire camp of people out there, and they have sent me messages, and they've emailed me, and they try to tell you that this is not angels. They will try to tell you this is not the sons of God here are not angels, but they say that they're the descendants of Adam who were wicked and went into the daughters of men and procreated a wicked seed on earth. However, listen to me, this is biologically impossible for normal men and women to produce giants in the earth, which were as tall as Goliath, and you go study it out, which were somewhere between 10 and 13 feet tall. Guys, it holds no water. That doctrine to teach that this was mere men and the seed of Adam and was not angels, it holds no water when you start breaking this down. Again, the Hebrew word giants in Genesis 6:4 is Nephilim, meaning, quote, listen to this, this is interesting. The actual Hebrew word for Nephilim is he fell. Or it implies that something or someone who fell. And if we keep it into contextual interpretation, Genesis 6:4 tells us who fell. It's the fallen angels that fell from heaven and produced an offspring of giants in the earth. Listen, early church fathers wrote about the existence of these giants that, watch this, that form the embellishments of gods, little g, where we derive Greek mythology. We'll get into that in a little bit more as well. Let me give you some of these quotes here. I want to give you a quote. We're going to give you some quotes from the early church fathers. But before we do that, let me give you a quote from the Encyclopedia Judaica under angels and angelology. Quote, the earliest report of fallen angels is found in the book of Enoch. Again, here's this reference to other books, so don't freak out on me. The sons of heaven who belonged to the guardian angels had lusted for the beauty of the daughters of men. And in the time of Jared decided to descend upon Mount Hermon. And by the way, there was 200 angels ascended on Mount Hermon to carry out their plans from there. There were 200 of them, and their leader made them swear an oath. Now, in case, just for conversation, since we're in this, Enoch actually gives titles or names to these angels. Come on, is this okay? Is this too deep? Can we talk about this today? Let me just read these. These are some titles to these angels. Azael, which means in Hebrew, God has created. There was Armeros, which is the cursed one or a cursed one. There was Batiril, or which was the valley of God. Ananel, which was the reign of God. Zakil, which is God has hidden or God has protected. Samsapil, or the son, S-U-N, not S-O-N, of God. Satarel, or the moon of God, or the dawn of God, Terel, which is the mountain of God, Jamjel, or the day of God, and Sariel, which is the prince of God. Enoch said that these were the chiefs of the tens. Let me say it again. These were the chiefs of tens. Now remember, Paul said in Ephesians 6 that there is chief prince spirits, angels. All right, let me go back to this quote from the Encyclopedia Judaica after we've named all them. Again, there were 200 of them, and their leader made them swear an oath to adhere to the purpose, and it was this oath that gave the mountain its name, Hermon. They consorted with the daughters of men who birthed a generation of giants who set about mercilessly destroying human beings. We'll go into more detail in just a minute about that. The fallen angels also taught men the use of weapons and other tools promoting immorality and crime. In this manner of demonic wisdom came into being in addition to divine wisdom and led to the corruption of mankind. Now, I know somebody's going to say, well, Brother Ricky, that's great. That's awesome. But this is not what I wanted to hear about. I wanted to hear about the aliens and the extraterrestrials. Well, guys, we got to build it. We're building a wide and deep foundation, because if I went straight here and told you what my My theory is, without building this, it's not going to hold much water. So we're in a court case, and I'm building my case here. Okay, so just bear with me. If you're part of the TikTok 30-second attention span generation, please just go back, watch this, and it might take you 2 months to watch this in 30-second increments. Whatever you got to do, but we're trying to teach today. Okay, early church father Justin Martyr commented on this, on the involvement of fallen angels in producing giants. And this is what he said in his writing, quote, "Moved by man's outcry, the four archangels appealed to God and were given orders to punish the fallen angels. I propose to you, one of these four archangels was Michael." Okay. "God committed the care of men and all things under heaven to angels whom he appointed over them. But the angels transgressed this appointment and were captivated by the love of women and begot children who were those that are called demons." Whoa. So early church father Justin Martyr calls the seed of these giants, demons. Now watch this. In other words, when the soul and spirit departed from these giants, this seed of the serpent that died, their soul and spirit, where did it go? Being that it was mingled with the daughters of men, it could not go to paradise. I'm speaking pre-Christ. It could not go to Abraham's bosom, which, by the way, paradise was in the heart of the earth, Abraham's bosom, before the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Today, according to the Apostle Paul, after the crucifixion of Christ, it's in the third heaven, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But being that these were half human and half angelic, their soul and spirits could not go to heaven or paradise. So the theory is, by many scholars and theologians, that the spirits of these dead giants are the demons that we contend with today. Whoa. So we see where demons come, the origin of demons. Okay, so let's move on. "And besides this, they afterwards subdued the human race to themselves, partly by teaching them to offer..." Listen to this. This is crazy. Who's teaching them this? The giants. "They're teaching the humanity to offer sacrifices and incense and libations, of which they stood in need after they were enslaved by lustful passions. And among them, they sowed murders, wars, adulteries, and intemperate deeds, and all forms of wickedness. When," quote, again, we're reading the rest of this from Justin Martyr, "whence also the poets and mythologists, not knowing that it was the," quote, "angels and those demons whom had begotten by them, did these things to men and women and cities and nations, which they related, ascribed them to God himself and to the offspring of those who were called brothers, Neptune and Pluto, and to the children again of their offspring." Did you know that the planets that were named Neptune, Pluto, Mars, Saturn, these were named after these fallen angels? That's where we derive these names from. So let me recap this real quick. God sent, according to Jewish history, according to the early church fathers, according to Genesis chapter 6, God sent a group of angels that were identified as the sons of God from heaven to earth with the assignment to preach and teach to humanity the ways of God, but they were corrupt. They had already allowed the influence of Lucifer to corrupt them. They went into the daughters of men, produced a lineage or a seed of the serpent, a lineage of giants, that were responsible for polluting the entire race of humans with corruption. By the way, if it's of my opinion, you can agree or disagree, but I believe these giants were directly involved in the formation of ancient pyramids and structures that we see in Egypt, where archaeologists and historians have all been left baffled because they cannot understand and they cannot unravel the enigma of how this ancient civilization, who had no earth-moving equipment and they did not have the technology that we possess today, were able, to construct these pyramids like they did. The answer, my friend, is there were giants in the earth in those days. Think about it. If they were 10 to 13 feet tall and they had this strength of angelic beings in their seed, in their bloodline, they would be able to perform tasks that were not possible with regular human beings. Now, I want to go back to, if I haven't lost you yet, either getting offended because I'm quoting early church fathers and historical books and whatnot, if you're still with me, I want to still continue to build on this, and then we're going to come to our conclusion. If you go to the book of Enoch, in one of his writings, Enoch says that the angels taught men charms, spells, the cutting of roots, and made them acquainted with plants. And the women became pregnant by these. And according to another book called the Book of Jubilees, again, this is not in our 66 books of Canaan of Scripture, but this is Jewish history. In Jubilees chapter 7, these giants, after they were conceived, after they were in the earth, according to Jubilees chapter 7, after they ascend against the beast and birds. Now, how do they do that? Listen, I can't even say the term, because I want to keep this broadcast up. But remember in Genesis 19, and you go over, I believe it's in the book of Jude, it talks about this. It says that the men of Sodom began to go after strange flesh. Okay? So they began to sin against beast and birds, and it wasn't just those relations, but there was also gene splicing. They were taking animals and they were mixing them together. They were taking one species of one animal and mixing it with another. And through this, there was much bloodshed upon the earth, and men continually desired only what was useless and evil. And the Lord destroyed everything from the face of the earth because of the wickedness of their deeds and because of the blood they had shed over the earth. He destroyed everything. According, again, more of this, when we read on, it says, giants turned against and devoured mankind. They begin to sin against the birds, against the beasts, the reptiles, the fish, to devour flesh. And these giants drank the blood of the flesh. These sons of men, or these giants, is what the book of Jasher describes them as. Again, this is another book reference that's historical. It says that these giants would cause their wives to drink a mixture that would render them unable to conceive, in order that they might retain their figures and their beautiful appearance may not fade. Oh, I'm going somewhere with this and the end and the conclusion, and all of this is going to, the bulb's going to go off and it's all going to make sense to you. The book of Jasher goes even further. The book of Enoch goes further. It tells you that these angels, the Bible calls them watchers, they begin to teach mankind how to make weapons. They begin to teach them about metals on the earth, bracelets, ornaments, the use of antimony, the beautifying of eyelids, aka makeup, and all kinds of precious stones and colorings and dyes. They taught men the casting of spells, the conjuring of spells, astrology, witchcraft. And because of this, God took those third angels that committed the abomination of going into the daughters of men, according to your Bible in 2 Peter chapter 2. It says that God cast them down to hell. That's where they're at today. They are delivered into chains of darkness and they're being reserved for judgment. We know, according to the book of Revelation, that there are four angels that are bound in the river Euphrates. And your Bible says that God himself will loose those four angels as a form of judgment that go across the earth and they will wipe out billions. Jude chapter 6 says the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. We know, according to Revelation, that there is also a chief angel. This angel is called Abaddon in Hebrew. In Greek, it's Apollyon. And the Bible calls him an angel of the bottomless pit. All these angels are going to go forth during the tribulation and wreak havoc and cause destruction and carry out the judgment of God upon humanity. And by the way, the word Abaddon, just throwing this out there, the word Abaddon in demonology was the chief of demons of the seventh hierarchy. He was called the destroyer. Now you, look, I know this is a lot to take in. It's a lot to digest. And you may be listening to this and you'd be like, well, what's this got to do with UFO? What's UFOs, extraterrestrials, aliens, UAPs? I'm glad you asked because it, listen, could it be possible that there are, now I know people want to point to demons, but here's the problem with demons. I can't find anywhere in scripture where demons took upon themselves flesh. Now they can possess individuals. I can't find that in scripture. They can go into flesh and possess someone, but I've never found anywhere in scripture where they've taken on flesh. But I can find in the book of Hebrews where God said, beware of entertaining strangers, for in doing so, some have entertained angels, not demons, angels unaware. Whoa. Now, if we agree with the consensus of early church fathers and most theologians, that the origin of demons is the spirits of the dead giants, then obviously they can't take upon themselves any more flesh. These are just spirits. They are disembodied spirits that look to possess bodies, but they don't take on themselves flesh. Because again, these angels that came down from heaven had to have taken on some type of flesh. Are you following with me? In order to procreate with the women who was of flesh. Now you say, I know somebody's going to say this. Well, that's ridiculous, Brother Ricky, because that's impossible. Really? Jesus, the Bible says Jesus became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus is not flesh, he's spirit. Yes, he took on flesh. Yes, he was half man and half God. But he, don't miss it, he took on flesh so that he could be tempted in all points. So don't tell me it's not possible. And again, Hebrews says, entertaining strangers, we've entertained angels unaware. Listen, I would think that if an angel was so obvious to me that it would be manifested, then how would I be entertaining strangers unaware? Are you hearing me? Now, I know as sure as I teach this, somebody's going to say, well, hold on now, Brother Ricky. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 22, when he was asked about this, that we will be like an angels in heaven that neither give in marriage or are given in marriage. Well, let's talk about that. First of all, in the Bible, when you study the scriptures, angels are always identified as male. They're always addressed with a he, him, or masculine pronoun, meaning, example, Michael and his angels. So the consensus here is if all the angels are men or male, then they can't be given in marriage because all, listen, despite of what the culture says, a man and a man cannot procreate. Are you with me? That's what Jesus was talking about here. And by the and again, we won't need to be married in heaven because Jesus will be the groom and we will be the bride. And Paul talks about an earthly marriage is a type and shadow of Christ and the church. We don't have time. We could spend an hour just in that alone. So here's what I want to leave with. Watch this, and this is where we're going to close. If we see here, if these angels had, think about it, guys, if they taught humanity how to make weapons, cast spells, involve themselves in witchcraft and sorcery and enchantments and make metals and all these things of the earth, wouldn't it be, because remember, they dwelled in the third heaven with God. And I don't know what you think is in heaven, but I'm going to tell you right now, you go and you study out the Bible and there is things in heaven that eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, nor has it entered into the hearts of men what God has in store for those. We're talking about streets of gold, walls of jasper. We know there's going to be trees in heaven. There's going to be plants in heaven. There's going to be stones and brick and all these precious metals. And I will remind you that there's going to be horsemen. There's going to be horses. There were chariots of fire. Hello, God sent a chariot of fire to come and take Elijah to heaven. And listen, if you go in and read Ezekiel chapter 1, the prophet mentions, he describes this weird thing called and he describes this as a wheel in the middle of a wheel. And he talks about how this thing would maneuver and it would move. And I'm just throwing this out there just for conversation piece. In the 1970s, there was a man by the name of Eric von Daniken, or Daniken, I believe it's Daniken, was invited to a secret speech at NASA where he met another individual where the two spoke about a theory that Daniken had from a book he wrote called Chariots of the Gods, wherein which he says the vision that Ezekiel had was an actual craft. Not so much a chariot, but he said, again, I'm not saying that I 100% believe what he's saying here. Again, this is all in conversation piece here, in context. He believed it was an actual craft that we have never seen, that humanity has never seen on this side of heaven, that was possessed in heaven. So can I present to you, now I said all that to get to right here, because this is the point. I want to propose to you a hypothesis. You don't have to believe what Brother Ricky says today. It doesn't really matter. But I want to propose to you a hypothesis. Could it be possible that there are, quote, craft or vehicles of some type that was constructed in heaven by these angels, these watchers, these sons of God and sons of morning, that we have never seen, and I use quotations, never seen on this side of heaven? Or, you ready for this? Dun, dun, dun. Or are we now, I shouldn't even say now, but have we been given glimpses since Roswell and the Phoenix Lights incident in the 90s and all the other reports, eyewitness accounts of these quote unquote UAPs, UFOs, unidentified objects? Could it be possible that what we were seeing, oh, come on, somebody, was indeed aircrafts of unearthly origin? Okay, I'm just saying, because these angels taught humans how to make weapons. And by the way, everything that Enoch describes that these angels taught men We're still doing it because there's no new thing under the sun. We're still trying to get Christians delivered of the very things that these corrupt angels taught them to do. And that's delve into sorcery and witchcraft. Are you hearing me? These angels taught women how to corrupt themselves with their beauty to draw men into lustful acts. That's still happening today. Women are still being sexualized. Women are still being manipulated and controlled by the media and by these demonic spirits that are still controlling all these things, where women have to have this body image. Now I'm going to drop the final bomb right here. And again, I'm going out on a limb here by saying this, because some people, I don't know how you're going to respond. Well, I guess we'll find out. But I'm going to go ahead and say it anyway. We know, according to scripture, we know that there's four angels that are bound in the Euphrates. We know Abaddon's bound. We know that there is a number. He just says those angels that held not their first estate are being held in confinement in judgment, in chains of darkness. He didn't say all 200 of them. I'm just saying, he just said those angels. Could it be possible that, again, I go to Hebrews, beware of entertaining strangers, for in doing so, you could be entertaining angels unaware. Now, we would say, we would like to lean towards that those were angels of God and not angels of Lucifer or on his side. So, if God still has angels, which we know he does, come on, we know that we have, according to the author of Hebrews, that we have ministering spirits unto the heirs of salvation. We know that the angels of God hearken unto the word of God. So if, watch this, if God has angels at his disposal to aid us, and by the way, did you know this? That if you go to Romans chapter, oh, come on, I got to go here. Did you know that we replaced the angels that fell? Oh, it's going to get quiet up in here. Listen, all the Lord wanted in the beginning was a family. He created angels, but they revolted against him. Then he created man, and he sinned. Then he wiped them out. He started over with Noah, and then all the way down to lineage. And then we get all the way, come on, this is where I'm going to finish this. We get to Romans chapter 8. I'm going to pull this up. Look what it says here. Paul is talking about all of creation eagerly waiting for its redemption, right? Romans 8:18. Look what it says. The apostle Paul says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the," what does it say on your screen, friend? "The sons of God." And by the way, the revealing of the sons of God, the term here, sons of God, is not B'nai Elohim, referring to angels. It's referring to us, the children of God. Watch this. "Thus, we replaced the original sons of God that God intended to create in the beginning. But now, come on, he's created us because now we're called the sons of God." But can I show you a deeper prophetic level of this? Could it be possible, when we go back to this, just as God has angels in the earth today at his disposal, using to aid us, is it possible, not demons, but is it possible that there is still angels that fell with Lucifer that still have the capability somehow, don't ask me to explain this, because it'll never be able to happen, because we have limited knowledge. No preacher's got all this figured out. Is it possible that Satan has an alliance of angels that somehow can take on the form of flesh, wherein which we would be able to look upon that flesh. And when we did look upon that flesh, watch this, it would be so unhuman. Think about it. So unordinary that we would call it non-earthly origin. Could it be possible that this is what these men, these whistleblowers, have seen, have heard of? These are the pilots of these crafts. Could it be possible that this is what was recovered at Roswell? That these beings was recovered, and all the while we laugh at them and we think they're crazy and we think they're nuts. But is it possible that there really was beings that was obtained in these crashes, in these crafts? And these beings are not extraterrestrial. They're not aliens, but they are fallen angels in the flesh. Now, why in the world would Brother Ricky talk about this? Because again, guys, when I go to Thessalonians, where Paul talks about in that time of the end, there will be such a great, strong delusion that even if it were possible, the very elect would be deceived. Friend, everything, do you not wake up? Look around you. Look what's happening. The narrative is being laid out. I mean, it is right there in front of you. The narrative is being laid for us to have a, quote, alien encounter. So what's going to happen to your faith? What's going to happen to your family's faith, your parents' faith, your sisters, your siblings, your coworkers, your friends at church? What's going to happen to their faith when and if some type of craft, perhaps it was what Ezekiel described, a type of wheel within a wheel. Perhaps it'll be something like it was described that took Elijah into heaven, called a chariot of fire. Whatever this case is, it's some type of vehicle, a craft that is not of earthly origin. What's going to happen if one of these come into the first heaven here on our planet, and these watchers, these angels come out of this craft and they begin to communicate with humanity? Listen, I'm telling you, if hundreds of thousands of people, millions of people are lining up like lemmings to have their eyeballs scanned so that they can get a world coin and get their world identification, you think that these people wouldn't be lined up to communicate with extraterrestrials and believe the lies that would be spewed out of their mouth? Because Satan has orchestrated the entire thing to get them to turn the masses from God to, and I quote Thessalonians, to believe the lie. So listen, I don't know how you're going to handle that today. That's an hypothesis. I can't say that that's going to happen and that's 100% going to happen like that. But I believe that we could very well see something like that happen, and it will, and they will use this as an excuse, and it will cover up. Satan will do everything he can to cover up events like the rapture, when somehow this involves the disappearance of millions of people on the face of the earth. Come on, this is my hypothesis, and I'm just going to run with this today, because I have looked at every angle of this. I don't believe this is military of origin. I believe in people is going to mark off these people as nuts, but when you start digging in this and you see the history, you go into the ages past, and you see the history, the account, the watchers, the fall, the giants, the Nephilim, it's all there, and it makes sense. So tell me what you think about this. Hit me up in the comments. I'd love to hear from you. I hope I didn't run off half of you. But again, it's just an hypothesis. But I will tell you this. There is coming great deception. And I'm telling you, the majority of the world is going to buy it hook, line, and sinker. We better be in the Word, in God, in prayer, and be anchored in it so our foundation is found in him, so that we're not swayed by the deception on a grand scale that's coming to the world, in Jesus' name. Listen, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com, right there above me on your screen. Please bookmark our website. Please download our free app. It's available on Apple and Android. Hit yes to push notifications. You're going to be ready to go. You're going to get every headline, every podcast, every viewpoint. Everything's going to be right there. It'll be a great blessing to you, I promise you. And it's easy and it's free. Also, if this ministry has been a blessing to you, listen, if you've been praying about becoming a monthly partner, you can do that two different ways. Right here on your screen, you can give electronically through the app, or you can give by check or money order, and you can make that at the End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391. That's Monroe, Georgia 30655. As always, guys, thank you for coming on tonight to be a part of this crazy broadcast. I hope it's been a blessing to you. I hope it kind of... this makes some sense to you. Again, hit me up in the comments. Maybe you can add something to this that maybe I forgot. Add a little bit to this, or a different angle. I'd love to hear from you. So listen, we're going to sign off for tonight on this 27th of Thursday of July. We'll be back here tomorrow. Again, a full week of podcasting. We'll be back tomorrow, Friday the 28th, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, and we'll have another great broadcast. We'll have another great segment for you tomorrow night. Until then, may the Lord bless you, may he keep you, and may his countenance shine upon you. We'll see you then.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.